Americans themselves define it, right? So the military in Brazil, they pose as nationalists, and they're serving foreign elites. How they manage to pull that off tells you how sophisticated is their PR offensive and the conflicting signs that they are sending all the time, which in terms of a mostly puzzled public opinion in Brazil, people don't, they cannot identify the signs anymore. They are completely lost in a semiotic jungle, you know, absolutely lost. So they start, they have a Brazilian flag where they, you know, they go out in the streets with the Brazilian flag defending a military product, which is the case of Bolsonaro, not even a general, a mere captain. And he became a captain because he was expelled from the army. And then he went up one rank, you know, a mediocre politician for 20-something years. And from one day to another, this guy is being incensed as the new salvation for the Brazilian debacle after the years of Lula and Dilma, which were demonized to the hilt, of course, especially in terms of they are extremely corrupt. They stole, of course, they could never prove that Dilma or Lula stole were actual bank robbers on a state level. But they criminalized the Workers' Party where they came from. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are problems with the Workers' Party, but they were not a bunch of Al Capone thieves, you know.
Right.
So, but the whole PR campaign, which obviously the whole infrastructure for this PR campaign was borrowed from the Americans, which have vast experience all across the global South of organizing regime change in a soft way.
Right. Yes, we know.
Really,
yes.
Really
yes.
Hardcore.
Yeah, yeah. We know. Yeah. In Iran, we know.
In Iran, come on. You're no better than anybody in the world in Iran about that, yeah. Right? So the beginning of the Bolsonaro project, it's something very interesting in terms of the timeline.
Right.
He went to a Brazilian military academy only 1 month after Dilma was reelected. That was the end of 2014. She was reelected in November. In December, he went to this military academy and more or less informally launched a bid for the presidency in 2018.
Right.
And of course, the whole military brass was behind him. So he became, from day one, literally, their candidate for the next elections four years later. And that's exactly what happened this 4 years later, because in between we had the crucial plank of the whole scheme, let's put it this way, which was to demonize and marginalize Lula, preferably forever. And that's how they concocted this absolutely bogus allegations that Lula...
So, excuse me, Pepe. So, in other words, they realized that if Lula is there, he would not be able to be elected because they would be facing a formidable opponent who's popular,
they were afraid that if Lula would run in 2018, they would win. And in fact, all the polls were saying that if Lula runs in 2018, this is after the coup against Dilma. Every poll was saying he's going to win, and he was going
to
win.
Exactly. So in other words, they had to get rid of her. They had to get rid of Dilma, bring in some sort of an interim until 2018, some sort of
The interim was the horrible Temer administration. Right. Temer was the center-right vice president of Dilma.
So what insight did we gain from our conversation with Pepe Escobar? Contrary to the stereotypical image most have of Brazil, this geostrategically very important nation is in fact a socially and culturally deeply divided nation. The powerful US-backed army and traditional economic elites are still not fully capable of accepting that the majority of the poorer population in that country has gained significant political power after the end of the US-backed military dictatorship. This reality being most clearly manifested in the recent election victory and now third presidential term of former labor leader Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. In addition to this domestic state of affairs, Brazil is one of the key countries in the shaping of a new post-American multipolar world, being one of the founders of the BRICS Forum, alongside Russia, India, and China. A forum which will experience further expansion in the near future with the addition of strategically important countries such as Iran, Argentina, Algeria, and Turkey. The next few years will show whether Brazil is capable of participating in the emergence of a new multipolar world as one of the new emerging global powers, or whether the US-backed Brazilian military and traditional economic elites will keep Brazil within the US sphere of influence by any means necessary. Thank you for joining us on this episode. Until the next time on Insight.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, I'm Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi and we're going to be with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll try to discuss the commentary of chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. We'll be back after you listen to the verses we're going to discuss in this episode.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. فافتح بيني وبينهم فتحا ونجني ومن معي من المؤمنين
Then judge between me and them with decisive judgment and save me and those with me of the believers.
فأنجيناه ومن معه في الفلك المشحون
So we saved him and those with him in the laden ship. Then we drowned thereafter the remaining ones.
Dear brothers and sisters, we have reached these verses of chapter Shu'ara to be discussed. فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَمَنْ مَعَهُ فِي الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ ثُمَّ أَغْرَقْنَا بَعْدُ الْبَاقِينَ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ So we delivered him and those with him in the laden ark, then we drowned the rest afterwards. Verily in that is a sign, but most of them do not believe. And also the 122nd verse, وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ And verily, your Lord, He is the Mighty, the Merciful. Now, as we explained in the previous episode, the grace of Allah came to help Noah after he somehow engaged in the invocation, and the Almighty Allah saved him and his followers because he had prayed for himself and the followers to be saved and delivered from these unbelievers. Now, the grace of Allah comes to Noah, and on the other hand, the punishment is coming to annihilate the rejectors. So the Quran says, ثُمَّ أَغْرَقْنَا بَعْدُ الْبَاقِينَ, then we drowned the rest afterwards. Now, at the end of the explanation, after all these ups and downs of the story of Prophet Noah, Quran repeats the same words which were mentioned at the end of the story of Moses and Abraham, عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا وَآلِهِ وَعَلَيْهِمَ السَّلَامِ. It implies that in the circumstance of the event of Noah and his constant invitation to the truth, his patience, and finally the destiny of his opponents who were drowned and destroyed, there is a sign for all mankind. This is the kind that Almighty Allah treats with the people in the universe. Verily, in that there is a sign. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَةٌ وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. But most of them do not believe.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In
this
series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
So this is how Almighty Allah treats the people in the universe. This is a sunnah, this is a tradition, that if you depart your way from the way of the Prophet, if you stay away from the truth, you will be eventually drowned, destroyed, etc. Therefore, the Prophet ﷺ, based on all these stories, the stories of Moses, Abraham, and Prophet Noah, should not be upset from the aversion. He should not be upset about the obstinacy of the pagans among his people. He must persevere for his destiny and that of his companions, because it is like the destiny of Noah and his followers. And the fate of the disbelievers is the same fate that those drowned people had. This is what happens to the people. And this is not out of the mercy that the Almighty Allah is giving some respite for the unbelievers. This, for the unbelievers, is only adding their burden of sins. In the end, the verse says, and verily your Lord, He is the Mighty, the Merciful.
وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. His mercy requires that He gives them chance and respites them with enough time and completes the argument at first, and His might causes you at last to be victorious and to make them encounter defeat. So, as a result, if He subhanahu wa ta'ala gives respite to the disbelievers, it is eventually because of His mercy, not for the existence of any weakness in Him. He is not weak to be delaying the chastisement of the disbelievers. He is giving them some time so they might return to Him. And this is out of His mercy. But for the ones who are still obstinate, this respite, this time given to them, adds them nothing but chastisement. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode as well. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are given the opportunity to understand the position and the maqam of Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam and apply that lessons in our lives, inshaAllah, and that we receive her shafa'at in the hereafter, inshaAllah. The fact is that her maqam is unique. It is a position that very few people have ever held, and a position that has been echoed and described to us by the best of creation, her father, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, where he once says to Salman, he says, Ya Salman, ibnati Fatima, mala Allahu qalbaha wa jawarihaha imanan ila mushashiha. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has filled the heart and the limbs of my daughter Fatima with the perfect faith. Yeah? Has filled it to the brim. He has made her reach the station where her iman was complete with such a high degree of iman. Tafarraghat li ta'atillah. And that allowed her to dedicate herself to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It allowed her to display her subserviency to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can tackle this in two ways, you know. We can try to understand what made her reach that station. And I think we have done that a lot. But today I want to look at the levels or the ways in which she was subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How she displayed her obedience to God. And again, we can see numerous examples when we look at her life. We can look at the courage she displayed. You know, just in the past few lectures, we talked about one of the most important qualities that we need in our lives to be able to display our faith to God is courage, right? It takes courage to do the things that God has asked us, because it is the willingness to put aside our own desires for the desires of God. That takes courage, right? And so we see that she displays her courage in so many ways, but especially in her fight for wilaya, right? The way she came out in defense of her husband Amir al-Mu'mineen is remarkable. Yeah, it's remarkable that it was not a fight of defense for her husband, but she was fighting for the institution of wilaya, right? And we are mesmerized by that, and we take lessons from that. And in fact, her daughter Zainab displayed that same level of courage in Karbala in the defense of wilaya once again. And so we see her subserviency to God displayed in that courage. We see her as far as her duties of nurturing her own family and the steps that she would take to make sure that the family lived within the confines or the boundaries that were set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, that's part of the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make sure that God serves as that primary position of control or that primary position of boundaries that we have within our lives. She also displayed her selflessness, right? In her willingness to assist those who are less fortunate. Again, this is something that we learn from her life with countless stories where she was willing to give whatever she had for the betterment of others. The next tradition we have about her ibadat and the way that she worshipped to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. He starts this hadith by describing the status, the maqam of his daughter. When he starts and says, wa amma ibnati Fatima fa innaha sayyidatu nisa'il alamin min al-awwalin wal akhirin. وَهِيَ بَضَعَةٌ مِّنِّي. And she is a part of me. The beginning, I'm sure we all understood that Arabic, that she is the best of the women, from the first to the last. And she is a part of me. وَهِيَ نُورُ عَيْنِي. And she is the light of my eyes. وَهِيَ ثَمَرَةَ فُؤَادِي. And she is the fruit of my loins. وَهِيَ رُوحِي أَلَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْ. Beautiful, yeah. And she is my soul, basically, he's saying. Oh, what the position of Fatima was, yeah. This is not exaggeration by the Prophet. And again, like, if we understand that this is the Prophet speaking and not her father speaking, because these may be things that we say about our children, but this is the Prophet of God who is speaking. And so when the Prophet of God is speaking, لا ينطقوا عن الهوى, yeah, Allah says he never speaks out of his own desires. Yeah, he speaks that which Allah has commanded him to speak. Yeah, and therefore he's describing the status that even God has for her. Yeah, and so he says وَهِيَ حَوْرَاءُ الْإِنْسِيَّةِ. He says she is a heavenly being. Right, she is not a humanly being. Rather, she is one of the pure beings of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. And then he describes her worship, and he says, Mata qamat fi mihrabiha baina yaday rabbiha jalla jalaluhu. He says that whenever she would stand on in the mihrab, in her musalla, to pray in front of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, dhahara nuruha li malaikati sama kama yadhharu nurul kawakibi li ahli al-ard. He says her light would shine for the angels in the heavens, the way the stars' light shines for the inhabitants of the earth. Subhanallah. Yeah? And he says, وَيَقُولُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And then Allah will proclaim. This is every time Fatima prays. Yeah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the angels, يَا مَلَائِكَتِي, O my angels, أُنظُرُوا إِلَىٰ أَمَتِي فَاتِمَا. Look at my servant Fatima. Look at how amazing, yeah? Let's not be jaded by these things, right? The fact that God is proud of her ibadat, yeah? The fact that God boasts about her ibadat to the angels and says, look at my amati, yeah? Look at my servant, Fatima, Sayyidati imai, qa'imatan bayna yaday. Look at her stand to worship, in worship to me. تَرْتَعِدُ فَرَائِسُهَا فِي خِيفَتِي. He says, look at her limbs tremble in awe of me. Yeah, subhanallah, right? This is one who is pure, one who is sinless. Yet, when she stands in worship, her limbs tremble in being in the awe-ness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَدْ أَقْبَلَتْ بِقَلْبِهَا. This is beautiful. وَقَدْ أَقْبَلَتْ بِقَلْبِهَا عَلَىٰ إِبَادَتِهِ. He says that her entire heart is in worship to me right now. Yeah? Her entire heart is in worship to me. That means her mind is not wandering, her heart is not wandering, but her heart and her full attention is in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then because of her salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ushhidukum anni. He says, I bear witness. Yeah, I want you to bear witness. That anni qad amantu shi'ataha minan nar. That because of that, I want you to bear witness that I provide amnesty to her shi'a from the fire of Jahannam.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adim Alim Halim Hakim Matim. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن صلى الله عليه.
in the limelight.
Although Palestinians had no official presence at the Qatar 2022 World Cup, the Palestinian flag was impossible to avoid, flown in the streets, waved in the stadiums, and draped on the shoulders of some of football's biggest stars. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Crescent International wrote, even before the World Cup kicked off in Doha, Qatar, the tiny sheikhdom faced a barrage of criticism for hosting 2022 World Cup. The Anglo-Saxon imperialist Zionist media went into overdrive, raising irrelevant issues that had nothing to do with soccer. Despite the initial outcry over non-availability of drinks inside the stadiums, as if it was a drinking competition, mercifully this has stopped. Regardless of the type of government in Qatar, it has done an admirable job showing hospitality, providing a safe environment, and presenting Islam in a positive manner. The World Cup in Qatar blown off the lid of negativity about Islam in the media. Ayman Mohiuddin, an MSNBC host, said the depth of Western prejudice, performative moral outrage, and perhaps most significantly, gross double standards, it is hypocritical of the West to give lessons on morality to others. The world's most viewed sporting event happens every 4 years, known as FIFA Soccer or Football World Cup. It is estimated that over 4 billion people have viewed the games. Qatar has taken the advantage of the World Cup to reach out to hundreds of thousands of visiting fans to explain the reality about Islam and remove people's misconceptions. Qatar is the first Muslim country to stage a soccer World Cup. Curious visitors have flocked to an array of grand mosques, interspersed with azan, the call to prayer. The Blue Mosque has attracted thousands of visitors, including soccer players from Argentina and Brazil. Outside the mosque, there are booklets in different languages explaining the teachings of Islam and the life of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Arabic coffee and dates are served to visitors. Islamic scholars patiently explain misconceptions about Islam and the Prophet that are so widespread among the people in the West. They are led to believe that Islam promotes radicalism. The booklets explain to people more about ethics, the importance of family bonding, and respect for mothers, neighbors, and non-Muslims. Numerous videos of visitors show admitting that their views on Islam and Muslims were tainted by unjustified prejudice projected by the Western media. Qatar has countered Islamophobia well, and according to social media posts, many people have embraced Islam during the visit to Doha. Islam, however, does not coerce people to convert. Moreover, many Muslims residing in Western countries have rediscovered their faith while attending the games in Qatar. The games are not about conversion or reversion to Islam. Rather, it is an opportunity to present an accurate picture of Islam. Qatar faced much criticism for not allowing drink sales inside the stadiums. Throughout the past weeks, the atmosphere has been friendly, calm, and peaceful without the hostility or violence associated with drinks. Qatar is a Muslim country. Alcoholic drinks are largely a Western addiction or obsession. It is not part of the sport. There are many countries that ban alcohol in stadiums like France. Drink consumption contributes significantly to antisocial behavior like vandalism and mischief. Such harmful conduct has been experienced in Europe following every soccer game. What captured the world's attention and mesmerized the spectators was the recitation of the verses of the Noble Quran at the opening ceremonies. Sayings of the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, and their English translations were hung on boards at various points around the stadiums, shopping malls, and commercial centers of Qatar. The billboard saying every good deed is a charity and save yourself from hellfire, even with half a date fruit in charity, were displayed in many places. Every seat in the stadium had a bag containing material about Islamic culture and Qatar. It was wise of Qatar to use one of the world's largest events to promote the message of Islam. Several Arab countries have normalized relations with the Zionist regime. Soccer fans and Muslims, however, have shown to the entire world by carrying Palestinian flag and wearing armband that they are with the Palestinians in their struggle against Zionist apartheid Israel. The show of solidarity shown by people of diverse ethnicities and nationalities with the Palestinian people raises much hope that the world has not abandoned the Palestinian cause. They sang, "With the spirit and blood, we will redeem you, O Palestine." This sympathy and support throws egg and pours cold water on the so-called Abraham Accords. There can be no normalization while Palestinians are killed by the occupying forces, their houses demolished, and they face daily humiliations. Brazil's coach Tite got emotional when talking to an Arab man draped in a Palestinian flag he offered to carry his sleeping grandchild to the metro. The Arab said he sympathized with us and showed us humanity. While Morocco lost its bid to host 2026 World Cup, its win against Spain and then Portugal brought much cheer, taking it to the quarterfinals. It looks forward to hosting it in 2030. It will be its fifth attempt to host the World Cup. The South African Football Association, SAFA, has pledged its unqualified support for Morocco's bid to host 2030 World Cup, just as it supported it for 2026. One can expect much Islamophobic racism and peddling of the old myth that Africa does not have the capacity to host the games. Morocco became the first Muslim country to reach the quarterfinals. Moroccan players and fans waving Palestinian flags shows their solidarity with Palestinians. This is a matter of pride for all Muslims. When Morocco defeated Portugal, players fell into prostration on the pitch at Al Thumama Stadium, celebrating their victory. The sins of players falling into sajda or prostration spread like wildfire. It was discussed on many social media platforms. Many Westerners asked, why are Muslim players celebrating this? It is common to see football players celebrate by either sliding or dancing, or some players even jumping over each other. Cristiano Ronaldo, along with Lionel Messi, are known for their celebration to connect with fans. However, Muslim players often fall into prostration to connect with God as they score or gain victory. Prostration is the pinnacle of humility and grace.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
شیخ قاسم محمدی.
اعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. و بهی نستعین و صلی الله علی محمد و اهل بیت الطیبین الطاهرین. اللهم صل علی محمد و آل محمد و عجل فرجهم. Dear brothers and sisters, السلام علیکم و رحمت الله و برکاته. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and this is for humanity. We've been talking about the necessity and the fact that it's very important and necessary to talk about the reality of human beings. And we talked about the importance of this issue from a rational point of view. We said that when we want to see whether a sort of knowledge is important and necessary to be known by human being or not, the way to recognize and to distinguish a worthy topic for being known and a topic that is not worthy of being known is to see whether lacking that knowledge harms you or not, or the amount that you may lose if you don't acquire that knowledge. And we said that maybe one of the most important or the most important topic that we have to no, otherwise we're going to lose a lot, is to know about humanity. And we said that the main cause of most human problems is the lack of this view being ingrained and established in human beliefs and practice. If this point of view, being knowing about humanity and, you know, actually a right understanding of humanity is established in humans in an individual way and also in a social way in their societies, we will undoubtedly witness a better world. And the Quran and the traditions always try to deepen this belief in human beings. So you can see the other side that is using the wrong understanding of human beings, the shaytan and the tawaqit, they seek to weaken this belief in humans, or by completely denying the spiritual realm of man with various methods, from various philosophical schools to some secular sciences. You know, they try their best to consider man as a one-dimensional being, for example. And from that point, you know, the deviation starts. Let me give you one example from science. The evolutionists, that are, as the technical term goes, physicalists, they consider human being to has just a material dimension to it, to him or to her. And they do not accept anything called the soul, and they have they even consider the introspective perceptions such as consciousness, etc., to be the product of millions of years of evolution of the primitive forms of life. So according to them, man is a sort of byproduct of evolution, and man has no special goal or purpose. Rather, indeed, the whole universe lacks goal and purpose. Now, a person who is going to experience life with such a view and such a worldview and such understanding of human being, whether in a sort of individual arena or in the social arena, let's say that he is about to make a decision, a very important decision for millions, you know, for a country, for a nation. For example, to make a decision for starting a war or to make and use chemical or biological weapons. Can you imagine how such a belief would affect the decisions of such a person? Okay, so inshallah, we're going to have a very short break and we're going to continue our discussion.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to For Humanity. We've been talking about the necessity of the topic of understanding man and how important and necessary this topic is. So when a person becomes one-dimensional, his or her values are different from a person who considers another dimension to human being, which is the spiritual dimension. Their goals are different. Their personal and social life plan to achieve those goals and purposes will also be different. So inshallah, in future programs and in this program also, inshallah, we're going to deal with the reality and the man, you know, the reality of man and what really man is or human being is. Of course, from the Quranic and traditional perspective. And on the other hand, we're going, inshallah, to talk about the other understandings or alternative understandings that exist there that are not coming from a monotheistic or divine nature and, you know, origin. Inshallah, we're going to talk about all those schools and those other alternatives that talk about the nature of human being and the reality of human beings as well. So before getting into the bulk of our discussion, let's first take a look at a sort of roadmap of our discussions, and inshallah we're going to start the main issue. Firstly, we're going to talk about the reasons that we can get from the Quran and the traditions which emphasize on the importance of studying man's nature. So we already take a look at why it is important and it's necessary for us to take a look at, you know, this topic of humanity, but from a sort of rational point of view. But inshallah, we're going to talk about the reasons that we can get from the Quran and the traditions that are talking about the importance and the necessity of this topic as well. And this way, inshallah, we're going to have a sort of strong reason in order for continuing our discussions and our study about human nature and about the reality of human nature. We're going, inshallah, to also talk about the two-dimensionalness of human being, that human being in the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the traditions of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasallam, has been depicted as having two dimensions to it. Unlike, you know, those schools that do not recognize any other aspect and dimension for humanity other than its material dimension. Shall we going to talk about the fact that the human soul is a manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reality. Inshallah, we're going to talk also about the even the material aspect of human being based on the Quran and the traditions. We're going, inshallah, to talk about the creation of human being as depicted in the Quran, and also this, you know, the spiritual dimension of human being as talked about in the Quran as well. And there are other issues that, inshallah, we're going to talk about in the coming session. That will be all for today's discussion. Inshallah, we're going to continue our discussion in the next episode of For Humanity. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. We'll be right back.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرض.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali عليه السلام in To My Brother.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
Kul
أسعد حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي
The Holy Prophet and Ali are of the same light. Salman has quoted the Holy Prophet as having said, I and Ali were light in the presence of God, casting light on the world of creation. The light glorified God 14,000 years before the creation of Adam, and when God Almighty created Adam, this light was transferred to his loin, and in the long period between us and Adam, we were in the pure loins, till we were separated in the loin of Abdul Muttalib into two parts. One part was me, and the other was Ali. Salman has also reported the Holy Prophet as having said, I and Ali were a single light before God. 14,000 years before the creation of Adam, when God created Adam, he placed this light in his loin. Then this light was divided in two. Part of this light was placed in Abdullah's loin, and the other part was placed in Abu Talib's loin. Therefore, Ali is from me, and I am from Ali. His flesh is my flesh, and his blood is my blood. Hence, whoever loves Ali is because he loves me, and whoever is hostile to him is my enemy.
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio. The program is To My Brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Dear brothers and sisters, we find in the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt, the divinely appointed Imams, and the Holy Prophet, and the messengers of Allah in general, including the Holy Quran, we find that they speak about the heart. Of course, there is the very famous tradition from the sixth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, where His Eminence talks about the heart and how it is the home and the abode of Allah. And when it comes to the spiritual wayfarers, we find that these great spiritual masters, such as Imam Khomeini, they spoke about how the heart is the place where the love for Allah exists. And so along these lines, of course, we find that the universal persona of Imam Ali, the divinely appointed Imam and an individual who had a perfect heart, who had a complete heart, he said that if the heart is self-satisfied, satisfied with its own self, it will forget its own preservation. And if the heart is overtaken by fear, it will become preoccupied with the avoidance of that which causes the fear. Here, the universal persona again of Imam Ali alayhi salam, we find that, for example, in the battlefield, there was no fear found in Imam Ali. And therefore, while he was in the battlefield, he was not preoccupied with the fear or that which caused fear. Rather, he was preoccupied with Allah. And on the other hand, we see also the very famous tradition or story, if you will, where Imam Ali alayhi salam had an arrow that had pierced his calf or his leg, and the Muslims wanted to take that arrow out. And they said the best time to take this arrow out is when Imam Ali alayhi salam is in his prayers, his salah.